We believe that this model better reflects the realities of practice and what our clients and businesses are needing from us as CPAs. We're really evolving the professions to meet the demands of a rapidly changing world while remaining the guardians of trust, and that's kind of critical for us.
All righty then, we are back with episode 106 of Future Proof. I'm Bill Sheridan, your host, by the way. Good time to talk about leadership this week. At least, I don't know, I think so. I mean, why not, right? And for a number of reasons. And you know what? Before we get into all that, let me take a quick minute to let you know that this week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Speaking of leadership, hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors, unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So, why talk about leadership? A number of reasons, as I was saying. First, we're in the middle of a crisis, right? As if you need me to tell you that. Times are tough, and great leaders are the ones who distinguish themselves when times are tough. We did a show on this not too long ago, back in episode 97. I spoke with leadership expert Emmanuel Gobio about leadership in times of crisis. And he said, times of crisis like this one, they're really tests to our ability to remain steady and decisive. And they're also tests of how well our leaders can keep their teams engaged in an uncertain environment. Here's what Emmanuel says. He writes, quote, "The default position in crisis is one of control. The more out of control we feel, the more we want to regain it. When in fact, the only way to get through a crisis is to ensure the steady flow of information from all parts of the system to ensure decisions are made with full information. This means that rather than control, success can only come from redoubling your efforts to gather discretionary effort, i.e. positive engagement, rather than simply gaining compliance, i.e. simply following orders." End quote. Good stuff there from Emmanuel Gobio. There's another great article about crisis leadership floating around out there right now. The folks I work with at the Maryland Association of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute have been sharing it around with our leadership team. It's called "From a Room Called Fear to a Room Called Hope, a Leadership Agenda for Troubled Times." It's from McKinsey, and the authors made a ton of great points, but this one stuck out for me. They said, quote, "Leaders who care about employees do more than listen, express sadness and concern, and take comforting symbolic actions. They also know how important it is to implement tough and distressing decisions in the most humane ways possible," end quote. And they say great leaders use three basic principles to kind of help dampen the stress of a crisis. These principles are prediction, understanding, and control. And I wanted to spend just a moment on prediction. Here's what the McKinsey article says about prediction. They write, quote, "The protective powers of predictability are a central theme in psychologist Martin Seligman's classic research on learned helplessness. His safety signal hypothesis was inspired by the air raid sirens used in London during the Blitz in 1940 and 1941 when German bombers attacked the city night after night. Because England's warning system was so reliable, Londoners could go about their business without fear of being killed by German bombs so long as the sirens were silent. When the sirens wailed, they knew it was time to scurry underground to the tube and other safe locations. The upshot of Seligman's work is that threats to well-being do less harm if reliable signals enable people to know when they are safe from the threat versus when it is imminent, and when fear is warranted and it's time to take action to minimize risk. Conversely, if people never feel safe, their feelings of powerlessness cause them to suffer constant anxiety and despair and ultimately physical and mental illness. The implication for leaders during a crisis such as COVID-19 is that while they may not be able to stop or dampen many of the distressing consequences, they can protect people by communicating when they will be safe from harmful and upsetting changes. For example, they can protect people from waking up every morning and wondering if they will lose pay or no longer have a job by giving them as much information as possible about when they are safe from such changes and when they are not. End quote. So I don't know, just some really interesting thoughts there, I thought, into the psychology of crisis leadership. And there's just a ton of similar insights out there right now, all of which kind of brings me in a long-winded roundabout way to my guest this week. She is Tracy Golden. Tracy is the new chair of the American Institute of CPAs and the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. She's also a CGMA and an audit partner with Deloitte, started her year as AICPA chair in June. But in her acceptance speech after her election, she used the COVID-19 crisis as a backdrop for her thoughts on the role CPAs play as trusted advisors who will help lead us on a financial path forward and through this crisis. So here's what she said. She said, quote, "We are truly living disruption, not incremental change, but a radical break from the familiar. Our profession has a crucial role to play in helping navigate this disruption. We are here to help businesses and individuals get through these tough times, learn from them, and grow." End quote. And then she outlined three ways that accounting and finance professionals can position themselves as leaders who will help their clients and employers get through this crisis. And here I'm reading from an AICPA release announcing Tracy's election as chair. Number one, find strength in our connection with one another. Tapping the power of networking and the ability to see across differences are vital skills for CPAs and CGMAs. Accountants also must refine and advance the ways they engage with clients and employers, virtually and otherwise. Number two, seize the opportunity to make much-needed changes. The pandemic is accelerating trends within the profession, and CPAs can use this time to look forward and make necessary long-term changes, such as expanding service lines. The current disruption we're all experiencing, she says, is living proof of the value of being able to pivot. And number three, evolve in order to thrive, right? Lifelong learning and technology adoption are critical components of this. So too are the implementation of changing business models and initiatives such as CPA Evolution, whose goal is to evolve licensure to both preserve and advance what it means to be a CPA, she said. So with all of that in mind, I wanted to sit down with Tracy and take a deeper dive into what she means by all of that and what else is on her radar for the coming year, as if all of this weren't enough, right? Tough times, sure. Challenging times, without a doubt. But the profession appears to have a leader who is up to the task. Here is my conversation with new AICPA Chair Tracy Golden. Why accounting? What drew you to the profession in the first place?
So I was originally planning that when I was in high school, that I would probably want to become, you know, president of the United States someday. And so I went to college in Washington, D.C., and I studied first, you know, the liberal arts program that would have led me to that particular career path, if you will. Mm-hmm. And as I got into that and realized the DC scene and the government scene wasn't the one that I was really going to be looking to jump out into, I decided that at the same school I was at to transfer into the business school, looked at all of the different disciplines that were available, all the different majors that were available. And I really said, wow, accounting is one that really has all of the majors within business because it's the language of business. So I could do anything with an accounting major in business and feel good about the skill set that I would bring and the knowledge that I would have as I went out into my career. So that's how I chose accounting. I said accounting is it because I really wanted to, you know, be able to figure out how I was going to make an impact and be ready for my career when I was done with college.
That's great. And here you are. we've been talking about disruption in this profession, on this podcast, pretty much everywhere for the last number of years. And now you're taking over as AICPA chair and perhaps the most disruptive period, I think, any of us can remember in recent history anyway. And I'm just talking about the pandemic here for the moment. What do you think we've learned about our profession as a result of the first quarter of this year and what we've been through?
Yeah, well, Bill, this is a very interesting question, actually. I think when I think about it, one of the biggest takeaways for me is how adaptable we have been as a profession and how we're able to go as CPAs that extra mile and really help our clients in this very difficult times. We're able to also help the companies that we work for in these very challenging times. You know, we've kind of always been able to adapt quickly to new laws and changing economic realities so that we could help our clients and the businesses that we work in through, you know, those kinds of times and those kinds of changes, right? That's something that's an expectation of us. But here, we've been on the financial front line of the COVID-19 crisis. And our practitioners, our CPAs, have been a calming force. They've been working with small business clients to navigate the CARES Act and the Paycheck Protection Program and get their loans, understand the requirements that they need to meet, and move forward. We've been helping people to get through the tax deadline changes and apply for unemployment benefits where that makes sense for individuals. We're, you know, we have a lot of our members and are trying to keep financial plans on track for individuals so that they can still, you know, make their plans for retirement and for their financial security in the future. I'm really proud of the work that the CPAs have been doing, giving back to the communities that we work in as well. As a profession, you know, we've been leaders in financial literacy for the past decade and a half, I guess. And so that, from that perspective, we really are able to bring a different set of information and a different approach to people who are suddenly seeing a much more challenging time right after having what was really a boom, right? I mean, it was, right. We were really in the high growth and so forth. And so from that perspective, I think we've been able to bring a lot to from our profession into helping our economy and helping the businesses that are trying to get back to thriving in this same economy.
Yeah, yeah. Just kind of curious if you think, or how you think, if at all, our profession might be changing almost like before our very eyes as a result of what we're experiencing right now.
Yeah, I think that, in fact, COVID-19 is spurring many of us to make much-needed changes. It's really sharpened how we're looking at the value that we provide and how can we innovate with technology. Even though these are, in fact, challenging times for many of us, we're seizing this moment and evolving our skills and competencies. And I recommend to anyone who's not yet to absolutely do that. And reimagine how we deliver value to our clients and our employers in this as we move forward and come out of, you know, these more challenging times and get to a new normal. I do believe that many firms, through some support and the help that they've been able to give, they're demonstrating the additional value that they can bring to the table. And, you know, CPAs are largely focused in many instances on business transformation and business modeling and helping clients to see a path forward on a new normal and back to prosperity is actually something that is right up our, you know, the alley of the CPA. Mm-hmm. We can also, as CPAs, use the trust that we've established and expand services and find ways to bring that value to our clients. I would say that the pandemic has underscored really the necessity for organizations to be able to better understand and assess supply chain risk, as an example. I mean, that's one of the big things when, you know, who'd have thought that not being able to get toilet paper, for heaven's sakes, that was not one of the things that would have been on anybody's list. And what are the supply chain risks, and how do those impact businesses and individuals in the marketplace? CPAs really have an opportunity to lead on this one. In the assurance space, we've grown the service organization control, or SOC, suite of services to include SOC for supply chain, for example. Mm-hmm. Great work for CPAs to bring and help people understand the supply chain. There's also opportunities for us to meet marketplace demand in the areas of sustainability reporting and assurance. And I think that's a big one that's coming. As you know, the beginning of the year, quite a number of major organizations and companies were talking about sustainability issues, and it's been gaining a higher profile. Right. We do think that our history of trust and assurance makes this an area of natural fit, and one that's going to continue to grow for us as well. So those are some changes, I think, that we can look forward to, and new services and those things in the future.
And you mentioned technology a couple of minutes ago. I've heard from more than one, you know, thought leader working with the profession recently say that the technological disruptions that we were focused on back at the start of the year, things like AI and blockchain, advanced cloud computing, things like that, those advances may have accelerated and become even faster because of this crisis. So we need to up our technology game significantly just to stay on top of things going forward. I'm curious what your thoughts are about technology and how it's impacting our profession at this point.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And the AICPA and many others in the profession, including, by the way, the Maryland Association, who have been leaders on this front, have been really banging the drum on technology for some time now. We talk about the constant change and disruption, and the majority of it's being driven by technology, really. I don't know anyone who doesn't see this as critically important to the profession now, or that thinks it'll become less important in the future. The issue then is, how do we make sure that CPAs are positioned to use this technology to perform better audits, to help their clients, and to continue to add value to their client relationships? And that really gets at the heart of what being a CPA is going to mean in the future. For example, blockchain, data analytics, robot process automation, and artificial intelligence represent an incredible opportunity for our profession. And we're seeing that firms are looking to hire people who have these skills. Mm-hmm. There are many learning opportunities that are available to upskill and right-skill CPAs for these roles. And we're increasingly see these areas in higher education curriculum as well. I also think that the ability to take away from the importance of problem-solving, skepticism, and critical thinking ability, if anything, it makes these things more important. And having the technology knowledge and understanding technology is great, but it is one side of the coin. Because CPAs also need to continue to develop their communication and leadership skills so they can explain it and help clients to use these insights that they can now gain from having more data and information from technology to make better business decisions ultimately.
You know, let's shift gears here for just a second, Tracy, if we could, and touch on diversity and inclusion for a moment, for obvious reasons, given everything that's going on in our world today. Inclusion, it's an area in which our profession has struggled, and we've known this for years, and this is nothing new. We've talked about it for years now, and still, I think the latest figures that I've seen related to the profession show just 1% of new CPAs are African American, less than 1% of, you know, managing partners and CEOs in the profession are African American, and the numbers for other people of color aren't great either. And I guess I'm wondering if, you know, whether you've given any thought at all to what real kind of tangible steps the profession could or should be considering to start to turn that flywheel a little faster.
Well, AICPA, like so many in the profession, including state CPA societies, have been vocal that racism is intolerable in our organizations and should not be tolerated anywhere. Make that clear to our members and our staff. I also realize that for the situation to get better, action steps to build a more equitable society. On a professional level, the AICPA has been leading efforts on diversity and inclusion, and that's something we're going to continue to do. Recruiting and retaining minority CPAs is essential to building the strong pipeline of talent that's entering the profession. I think it's important for the profession really as a whole and for individual firms to do their part to create environments where different perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds are valued. And we have got to do more to make sure that that happens. We have been doing a lot of work around the concept of unconscious bias. I'm really hopeful that a better understanding of unconscious bias will allow us to have more meaningful conversations about race and ultimately help us understand and support our clients, our colleagues, and our business partners from all different backgrounds. And we'll be able to continue to build that strong pipeline that we need. I really do think that pursuing a career in a profession like accounting is a tremendous opportunity for individuals from all backgrounds. Unfortunately, I will say that Black student enrollment and graduation rates have not grown. What we're hearing is that there's been a shift from accounting to other business majors, probably most significantly in the science, engineering, technology, and math, the STEM fields. And certainly, like accounting, these areas offer a wide array of career opportunities and solid earnings potential. Nationally, there is a huge push and financial support for more students to enroll in STEM-based majors. Given that increased demand for technical proficiency and data analytics in accounting, we really think maybe accounting should be included within the STEM umbrella. It's really not necessarily clear to us why the hiring, particularly Black hiring, has remained flat since 2008. It could be that some Black graduates are opting to accept positions in non-public accounting firms. And in many cases, student hiring can be affected by what careers a college or university emphasizes and recruiting efforts on campus. That's where we'll continue to work with our partners and peer institutions, like the National Association of Black Accountants, to encourage increased recruiting on HBCUs to bolster hiring of Black accounting graduates. And we're hopeful that that will lead to stronger diversity and inclusion within the profession.
So, in short, there's been a lot going on the last few months. I'm wondering how all of this that we've been dealing with, if it all has changed the way that you, or that we, rather, should be thinking about the future of our profession, if at all. I mean, given everything that's gone on, I mean, the world is, it seems to be a much different place than it was in January, which was only 4 or 5 months ago. I mean, how should we be thinking differently about the future of our profession as a result of all this?
Well, I think that takes us probably back to a little bit of talking about technology some more. And really going digital, what it tells us now is going digital is no longer something that's out there on the horizon. It's here. We're doing it. We're there. And reimagining our value for that changing marketplace is really necessary for us now. I think a great example is the move in assurance to remote auditing. That's been accelerating rapidly through this pandemic. And while that's a challenge, it's also a great opportunity for CPAs. I will say the AICPA is committed to helping auditors in this environment by providing guidance on everything from inventory counts to reporting considerations and even additional technologies that will be available in the coming years. We have been talking about disruption for a long time, as we discussed earlier, and the need to harness it. Firms that were early adopters and have embraced technology, even by connecting with clients virtually, sending documents through the cloud, and managing their staffs remotely, have really been well positioned through this crisis.
Now, aside from these crises, I guess, Tracy, where are you focusing your energy as you're gearing up for your year at the head of the AICPA? Where do you think the biggest opportunity lies for us as a profession?
Another area that I think is tremendously exciting and that really is, I think, our biggest opportunity for growth is really in our CPA Evolution Initiative, We believe that this model better reflects the realities of practice and what our clients and businesses are needing from us as CPAs. We're really evolving the professions to meet the demands of a rapidly changing world while remaining the guardians of trust. And that's kind of critical for us.
When you think about the future of the profession, what does it look like to you?
I think our profession is incredibly well positioned to meet the challenges of the present and the future, of our normal and our next normal, our new normal and our next new normal. The work of the AICPA and state societies is really helping firms evolve by reimagining the services that they're providing and reimagining how we're delivering the services. We're helping individual CPAs to evolve, embrace change, and develop new skills through lifelong learning. And as we're doing these things, we're working with NASBA to evolve licensure, to advance what it means to be a CPA while preserving our central role. I'm confident that we will emerge from these challenging times as a vibrant, vital profession.
Well, Tracy, thanks so much for taking the time. I know you're awfully busy, a lot of demands on your time, and I really do appreciate you being here and having you offer some of your insights on what's going on. So thank you very much. Good luck with your year, and looking forward to working with you.
Bill, thank you very much for the opportunity to be with you today. I appreciate it.
Terrific insights there from Tracy Golden, audit partner with Deloitte and the new chair of the American Institute of CPAs and the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. You can find out more, of course, at AICPA.org and AICPA-CIMA.com. Also, do not forget this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. And we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that's all I got, gang. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.